Welcome back. It's another edition of the Wobcast. I'm your host, Mike Wobshaw, coming to you from Xfinity Studios at Winter Park. It has been a while, and it has been an eventful period of time since our last Wobcast. A lot has happened to the Vikings, and we're here to catch you up. Yes, this is your off-season catch-up version of the Wobcast, and we're going to get right to it. We'll go in chronological order of these events. So the off-season begins when the new league year kicks off, and this year that was March 10th. The first big event is free agency, and the Vikings lost some players and gained some players in free agency. I think the main takeaway from free agency is the addition of three players who could be key to what the Vikings do on the field in 2015. The first one we'll mention is one who we hope is not key to what happens on the field because he's our backup quarterback. Sean Hill, who began his career with the Vikings, has made several other stops since his first stint with the Vikings, including with Norv Turner as a member of the San Francisco 49ers, but now has returned to play for us. Sean Hill will be Teddy Bridgewater's backup. Now, you hope you don't need your backup quarterback, but oftentimes you do in the NFL. If the Vikings need to rely on a backup for a short period of time, they have a pretty good one in Sean Hill, a guy who knows Norv Turner's offense inside and out, a guy who knows how to be a backup because he's done it at several stops in his career, and a guy who has won games at the NFL level. So if you need to rely on him for a few games, he can step right in and win some games for you. The Vikings faced Sean Hill for a little bit last year in the second half of the Rams game in week one. The two other additions we'll mention in free agency, both guys who are familiar with Mike Zimmer's defense. Sean Hill, he knows Norv Turner's offense. Well, Terrence Newman, a cornerback, and Taylor Mays, a safety, they know Mike Zimmer's defense. They both played for him in Cincinnati, and Terrence Newman, the cornerback, played for Mike Zimmer in Dallas. So the Vikings add two veterans who know Mike Zimmer's defense. They bring those guys in here to, A, compete with guys for roster spots that could go well into training camp and earn starting roles or prominent roles on this defense, and B, they're guys who know the system. The Vikings roster, specifically the defensive side of the ball, is filled with a lot of young players who need mental reps and physical reps to learn this defense. Well, Terrence Newman and Taylor Mays can help that learning process along. Along with free agency, you have the trading period. That opens at the same time, and the Vikings were players in the trade market this year. Of course, they traded away their backup quarterback, Matt Cassel, eventually replaced him with Sean Hill, but the biggest trade of the offseason for the Vikings was the acquisition of wide receiver Mike Wallace from the Miami Dolphins. Now, we played Mike Wallace last year, and he torched us for two touchdowns. We bring him in to our side, and we think we might be onto something with Mike Wallace, a great fit for Norv Turner's offense because of how Wallace can stretch the field vertically. Norv likes to attack vertically, but Mike Wallace also very good in the screen game, and we saw Norv Turner and Teddy Bridgewater work some magic in the screen game last year. You remember Jarius Wright had that game-winning touchdown against the Jets in overtime. That was off of a screen pass. So I think Norv has lots of tricks up his sleeve for Mike Wallace, a blue chip, legitimate, bona fide number one wide receiver who is a vertical threat, who's dangerous on some of those underneath routes. He's not just a one-trick pony with a bunch of speed. He had 10 touchdowns last year. 9 of them came in the red zone, a lot of those on screen. So Mike Wallace is dangerous all over the field, not just a guy you send on go routes. You can do a lot of different things with him. The Vikings basically send a fifth-round pick to the Dolphins in exchange for Mike Wallace, a guy who adds a lot of speed to the Vikings offense. Next up, the NFL draft, of course, which was held in Chicago this year. It had been held in New York for many previous seasons, but the NFL decided to move it to Chicago, to the Windy City. So that was kind of a fun twist to the event. But at the end of the day, the draft is the draft, and the Vikings did what they do under GM Rick Spielman. They came away with 10 draft picks, and they spread the love between the offense and the defense equally. They started things off, though, fairly heavy on defense. The first pick, the number 11 overall pick in the first round, was cornerback Trey Waynes out of Michigan State. A guy with blazing speed at the combine. That is probably his most dominant trait, and that's going to help the Vikings as they look to continue improving in the secondary, playing in a division that features talented passing offenses, the best quarterback in the NFL in Aaron Rodgers. And of course, you have to contend with Matthew Stafford and Jay Cutler. That's nothing to spit at. And then the wide receiver corps are very good, obviously. Calvin Johnson, one of the best in the NFL. You have Jordy Nelson. You have Alshon Jeffrey. You have the Bears, who took Kevin White in the first round. So the passing offense is very good in the NFC North. The Vikings recognize that. They took a huge stride last season in Mike Zimmer's first year at the helm, and pass defense went from the bottom of the league to the middle of the league. They want to make another big jump this season, and they're hoping Trey Waynes can help him do that. He's got pretty good size at 6'1". He's got great speed, and Mike Zimmer has been all over him in the offseason program, trying to coach him up and get him to know and learn this Vikings defense. Now, the question with Waynes is, how much is he going to play, especially early in the season? He's looked good here at the rookie minicamp, at the OTAs, and we'll see how he looks at the minicamp. And all of that matters, but what people want to know is, how much is he going to play? Is he going to be the guy who starts opposite Xavier Rhodes, and then are you going to slide Munnerlyn inside to nickel? Or are you going to train Waynes at nickel and have Terrence Newman or Josh Robinson play on the outside? And if you do that, what happens to Captain Munnerlyn? So the Vikings, a team that has struggled against the pass in recent seasons, starting to improve, and not just with the production on the field, but what's leading to that is the talent on the roster. The Vikings are starting to accumulate some talent at cornerback, which is something we haven't seen in a long time. We're starting to see it now. So Trey Waynes, you add him into that mix. It will be fun to see how Mike Zimmer and defensive coordinator George Edwards put Waynes into their system, where they play him, how soon they play him. Remember, it took Xavier Rhodes a little while to start racking up the playing time. He did play right away because a lot of times offenses are in 3 and 4 wide receiver sets, so you got to have your top 3 or 4 corners out there. Obviously, Rhodes is one of those, and Waynes will also be one of those. But is Waynes a starter right off the bat? I think that's a question that remains to be answered. We go to the second round, and the Vikings stuck with defense. They took a linebacker, Eric Kendricks, and they've slotted him as the middle linebacker in Mike Zimmer and George Edwards' defense. So we'll see if he does indeed become the starting middle linebacker. But just as is the case with Waynes, the question with Kendricks is, how much is he going to play and how early? It would be great if he would be the starting middle linebacker to start the season. You spend a second-round pick on a linebacker, you expect that guy's going to play fairly soon, and he's going to play a lot. Kendricks has the athleticism to play in coverage, and that's a good thing, because as your Mike linebacker, on the base downs and base defense, he's going to be communicating the play calls to the rest of the defense. So if you can keep him in your sub packages, in your nickel defense, he can also call the plays in those situations as well. So the Vikings may have found a 3-down linebacker here in Eric Kendricks. You watch him in practice. Of course, contact restrictions during the offseason programs limits what you can see and how much you can assess these guys. But the eye test, Eric Kendricks passes that. He looks like a leader on the field. He's always running to the ball. Even when he's not involved in a play, he's running to the ball, running up to teammates, patting him on the helmet, congratulating him. Another guy who's getting coached up a ton by Mike Zimmer and George Edwards, but that's not a bad thing. If the coaches are talking to you a lot, they see some promise in you, and I think the Vikings see a lot of promise in Eric Kendricks. We move on to the third round. The Vikings, again, address a defensive position, this time defensive end. It was Danielle Hunter from LSU, not a household name for a lot of football folks, especially football folks around the Midwest, but a guy the Vikings see a ton of potential in. A guy who came out early. Hunter had some college eligibility left, and a lot of the draft experts thought if he would have stayed in college another year, he could be a first or a second round pick next year. Well, the Vikings decided to buy early on Danielle Hunter. They're going to develop him under defensive line coach Andre Patterson, who's very good at what he does, has coached a lot of very talented defensive linemen in his career, including Chris Dolman and John Randall in his first stint with the Vikings. So you give Coach Patterson a raw product like Danielle Hunter, you give Mike Zimmer a raw product like Danielle Hunter, and you may turn out to have a very good football player. That's what the Vikings hope they have in him. And while he's progressing and developing as a defensive end in Mike Zimmer's system, special teams coordinator Mike Prefer is very excited about using Hunter's athleticism on special teams. How exactly? We don't know. We saw Coach Prefer use Everson Griffin, another defensive end, as a gunner on the punt team early in Everson's career. Maybe he'll do something like that with Danielle Hunter. Maybe he'll have Hunter on the field goal block team, use the long wingspan and vertical leap that Hunter has to try and block some kicks. A lot of possibilities here with Danielle Hunter. Again, an unheralded name, not a household name, but a good player with a lot of potential the Vikings found in the third round. Now you go around later and you get a guy who was a household name for a lot of people, especially a lot of the draft nicks out there, TJ Clemmings, a guy a lot of mock drafters had going in the first round, had going in the first 20 picks, but the Vikings found him available in the fourth round and they pounced on him. He played right tackle at the University of Pittsburgh, but it looks like the Vikings may have plans for him at right guard. They've shifted Brandon Fusco to left guard, and they've put TJ Clemmings in at right guard. Now, they know Fusco, and they're confident in Fusco. They know what they have in him. He's a veteran. He knows the offensive system. He's 1 year into it. So they believe that he can change sides. Whereas with Clemmings, you have a rookie. So he already has a steep learning curve as a rookie coming into the NFL, having to learn a new position. And he played right tackle at Pittsburgh. So why make him learn a new position in his first year in the pros and make him switch sides? They're going to keep him on the right side, plug him in at right guard, move Fusco to left guard in the Minnesota Moving Company. With the same core of players, John Sullivan in the center, Fusco returns, and then the bookend offensive tackles, Matt Khalil and Phil Lotholt, has a little bit of a makeover, a little bit of a rearrangement with Fusco to left guard and Clemmings at right guard. We'll see if that continues to be the case as we move into the mandatory minicamp next week, training camp in the preseason, and then once week one rolls around. Of course, things could change, but right now, that's how things are shaping up along the offensive line. Let's stick with offense and talk about the fifth round of the draft for the Vikings. They took two pass catchers, a tight end from Southern Illinois named Michael Pruitt, a versatile tight end who lined up as an H-back, lined up as an inline tight end, lined up in the slot, lined up as a flanker in college. So North Turner has a lot of different things that he can try and do with Michael Pruitt, a guy who's very good after the catch as well, and had the most receptions, yards, and receiving TDs of all Division I or Division II college tight ends last season. So a guy who's been very productive. Now, when you get a tight end with the athleticism and the versatility of a Michael Pruitt, and then you have Norv Turner coordinating your offense, that's a pretty good match. Norv Turner, a lot of success with tight ends during his NFL coaching career, most notably perhaps with Antonio Gates in San Diego. But with Pruitt, you have a guy who has some versatility. He's used to lining up all over the field. He's used to running all sorts of different routes in the passing tree. You can send him in motion. You can shift with him. You can use him as an inline blocker. You can have him run routes from an inline position. You can do a lot of different things. And what this does for a play caller and for a play designer is it presents an opportunity to get the defense in a vulnerable position. You can create mismatches with a guy like Michael Pruitt based on how the defense is lining up and then where you put Pruitt on the field and where you put some of the other players on the field. If a team is going to overcompensate, stack the box to try and stop Adrian, if a team is going to roll coverage over to Mike Wallace's side, if they're going to try and jam Cordarrelle Patterson and do some of these things to take away some of the more prominent weapons, when you have a guy with the athleticism and the production of Michael Pruitt in your passing game, you can take advantage of some of those areas where the defense is trying to overcompensate. They may throw a weaker player to Pruitt's side, and Pruitt can take advantage. So it'll be very fun to see what Norv Turner can do with him. The second pass catcher the Vikings took in the fifth round is a wide receiver, Stephon Diggs. Not just a wide receiver either, a guy who could be a factor in the return game. The Vikings are returning both of last year's returners, Cordarrelle Patterson, the kickoff returner, and Marcus Sherrills, the punt returner. But we all know that Mike Zimmer and Mike Prefer love competition, and they're not handing starting jobs out. They're going to make people earn them. And for Patterson and Sherrills to keep their return jobs, they're going to have to fight off Stephon Diggs. That is presuming, of course, that Stephon Diggs can make the team. And to do that, he's going to have to prove his worth as a wide receiver as well. He was productive for the University of Maryland, a versatile receiver, did his best work in the slot. So he's going to remind you of one of those shifty slot receivers who's really good in clutch spots, third downs. They can find mismatches, find the soft spot in a zone, beat a nickel back in man coverage, get open, make a big catch on third down. Stephon Diggs did a lot of that at the University of Maryland. He's quicker than fast, very good after the catch, which means he could be a factor in the screen game. We talked earlier in this episode of the Wobcast about how Mike Wallace can be good in the screen game as well as a vertical threat, while Stephon Diggs can be very good in the screen game. We did a film study of Stephon Diggs after we drafted him. That really illustrates quite well what he can do in the screen game. Very good at making defenders miss. Very good when he's in space, accelerating away from tacklers. So another exciting player that the Vikings have added in Stephon Diggs, and another guy who's versatile, because not only can he be a receiver, but he could factor into the return game. If Patterson does enough to hold on to his kickoff return job, but Stephon Diggs impresses Prefer enough that he wants to give him some reps as well, maybe you put Stephon Diggs and Cordarrelle Patterson back on the same kickoff return and make the opposing special teams coordinator and players have to deal with that. So another guy with a ton of potential in Stephon Diggs. We go to the sixth round, And we'll kind of lump the sixth round and the seventh round together here and go over the final four picks that the Vikings made in the draft. Tyrus Thompson, a sixth round pick, offensive tackle from the University of Oklahoma. And then in the seventh round, Austin Shepherd, another offensive tackle. He's from the University of Alabama. So the Vikings really beefing up the offensive line in this draft, going with TJ Clemmings in the fourth round and then taking two more tackles in the later rounds. Tyrus Thompson was very good for the University of Oklahoma. I believe he's a guy the Vikings could try and train on both sides, and he could be a potential swing offensive tackle. And then you have Austin Shepherd, a guy who played multiple spots for the University of Alabama. They run a pro-style system, and Austin Shepherd knows what it takes to win games. Albeit at the college level, he still knows what it takes. He was a two-time national champion for Nick Saban's Alabama Crimson Tide. So there's a guy with big game experience. It wouldn't surprise me if he finds his way onto this roster and is kind of a utility man on that offensive line, can play multiple positions. Defensively, defensive end B.J. DuBose from Louisville, and then Edmund Robinson, a linebacker, who I think Robinson's a guy that they may try and play in multiple spots as well on this defense. So guys, again, not household names, but guys with some position flexibility, guys who can move up and down the defensive line. B.J. DuBose is a guy who can rush from the outside on some of your base defenses, and when you go into your sub package, you could maybe slide him inside because he has enough power to deal with those offensive guards and those centers, and he could perhaps be a pass rusher for the Vikings in some of the sub packages. So there you go, a recap of the Vikings' performance in the draft. They go into the draft with seven picks, but Rick Spielman says he always likes to leave the draft with double digits, and Rick does indeed do that by moving down a couple of times in the middle and late rounds. He comes away with 10 draft picks, all of whom are still on the Vikings roster, practicing, trying to carve a niche for themselves on this team. It's going to be a tough job for them to do that because Mike Zimmer and Rick Spielman have really filled this roster with a ton of competition. There are not a lot of players where it's you can say that they are for sure going to make this team or they are for sure going to not make this team. The competition level, very good across the board, offense, defense, and special teams. So while every one of these draft picks does not have a guaranteed spot, they have an opportunity to make this team, and that's all you can ask for as a player in the first season. Okay, we move on to the next phase of the offseason, and that is the organized team activities. The draft and free agency and the trades, those are all off-the-field player acquisition activities. OTAs are on the field. This is actual football, folks. What have we seen? Well, let's start with Mike Wallace, the player the Vikings went and traded for this offseason, got him from the Miami Dolphins. So far, so good. I'm telling you, you watch this guy in practice, the speed is the real deal. This guy can fly down the field. He can stretch the field vertically, and when you present the defense with that kind of speed, especially on the outside as a receiver, it really puts stress on them because they have to decide which corner they're going to put on him, and does that corner have enough speed to stay with him, and are they going to roll a safety over the top? And I would recommend to defenses that they do that. They roll a safety over the top because if you don't, Mike Wallace is going to get over the top of a corner, and he's going to beat you deep, and Teddy Bridgewater is going to find him because Teddy has been very good at being on target and on time, and that's the key to hooking up on some of those deep passes. It's not just arm strength. You can have the strongest arm in the world, but if you're not throwing it on time and if you're not throwing it accurately, it doesn't matter. That's what Teddy has been doing well this offseason, hooking up with Mike Wallace down the field a ton. So far, the synergy between the young quarterback, Teddy Bridgewater, and the new wide receiver, Mike Wallace, has been very good. Another receiver that was talked about quite a bit for the Vikings this offseason, Cordarrelle Patterson. Sensational rookie season, mostly as a kickoff returner, but then in the second half of the year as a receiver, but then dropped back a little bit in his sophomore campaign. A lot of people looking for him to make massive improvements to his game, and I think he's starting to show that a little bit. He does have some off days, but he has more good days than bad, and I think you're starting to see a little bit of progression from Cordarrelle Patterson, paying more attention to his route running. He's got a guy in Mike Wallace. Mike Wallace, always the last guy off the practice field. I think that's a good model for young Cordarrelle Patterson to learn from. And at the end of the day, Cordarrelle Patterson just has a ton of talent, and you got to find a way to get the ball in his hands. I think Norv Turner is going to be able to do that, not only in the passing game, but also in the running game. You have Adrian Peterson back, so you can use Cordarrelle more effectively in some of those jet sweeps, the end of rounds, the reverses. So I see good things coming for Cordarrelle Patterson, but maybe the biggest reason why is continuity. This is the first time in four seasons where Cordero will be in the same offense for back-to-back seasons. I think that's going to pay dividends for him. He's running and learning the same things that he was going through last season. That's going to be a big factor for Cordero, and that's one reason why I think you can expect big things from him. Another big reason you can expect big things in 2015, Teddy Bridgewater. The guy is just a different guy, and I mean that in a good way. Last year, he was a rookie, and at this time last year, remember, he was the third-string quarterback. Well, right now, he's the starter. This is his offense, so to speak. And you can sense a different Teddy Bridgewater. You sense a guy who has more presence on the field with his teammates. You sense a guy who feels like he belongs, whereas last year, maybe he was trying to kind of feel his way and earn his way. He still feels like he has to earn his way onto the team and earn his role, but you can also tell that he feels like he belongs here. He's good enough to play here, and you just sense a more confident and a more present Teddy Bridgewater, and I think that's going to make a big difference for the Vikings offense. Next up, let's go to the offensive line. As we talked about earlier with Brandon Fusco moving to left guard, the Vikings draft TJ Clemmings and plug him in at right guard. TJ Clemmings has indeed been running with the ones throughout these OTAs. Now, that is obviously subject to change. That could be something where the Vikings decide to move Fusco back to the right side, find a new solution on the left side. Maybe they don't like TJ Clemmings as much anymore. They plug someone else in, David Yankee or Austin Shepard or Tyrus Thompson. But for the time being, it's Matt Khalil left tackle. It's Brandon Fusco left guard, John Sullivan center, TJ Clemmings right guard, and Phil Loadholt right tackle. Now, last season, we know the Vikings incurred a bunch of injuries along that offensive line, and the depth was tested. Joe Berger had to step into a starting role. Mike Harris had to step into a starting role. Vladimir Dukas, who's no longer with the team, had to step into a starting role. So the Vikings are trying to develop some of that depth behind the starters, and that's why you saw them draft Austin Shepard. That's why you saw them draft Tyrus Thompson. That's why you saw them bring back Joe Berger. That's why they continue to develop David Yankee. They added an extra center, so they have three centers on the roster right now. So they're trying to develop that depth. But when you look at the starting five, I think the Vikings have a solid core in place. You have to love who they have anchoring the whole thing, and that's John Sullivan, a veteran who's been here since 2008. You have the book-ending tackles, Phil Loadholt and Matt Khalil. And then, of course, you have the change at guard with Brandon Fusco moving to the left side as he comes back from injury. And then the rookie TJ Clemmings at right guard. It looks good so far. Of course, it's tough to tell during OTAs and during the offseason because the number one thing you want to see from offensive linemen is you want to see them play with leverage. You want to see them use their strength. You want to see them push the defensive line backwards. You can't see any of that in OTAs because contact is prohibited. We have to wait until training camp to see that. But I'm guessing when we get down to Mankato for training camp, we're going to like what we see from the starting five offensive linemen. Those five offensive linemen will, of course, be blocking for Adrian Peterson, who has returned to the team, and that has been a major storyline here during OTAs. Of course, absent from the team since the beginning of last season, he has returned, and he's back, and the guy looks like he hasn't missed a beat. Norv Turner said as much in a press conference last week. Norv, of course, thinks Adrian is one of the best he's been around, and I can attest to that. He's one of the best I've ever been around, and I think we're in for a massive season from Adrian Peterson. He's going to be running behind an offensive line that's reconstructed, but should be better than last season. Contains the core members we talked about with a little bit of change at offensive guard. You throw in Adrian Peterson, a developing Teddy Bridgewater, and I think the Vikings might be onto something. And the identity of that is going to be a pounding, physical rushing attack spearheaded by the 2012 NFL MVP. That's Adrian Peterson again. Came back in phenomenal shape. It's been a long time since he's played in a game, and I think we're in for a huge season from Adrian. So really fun to have that guy back on the field. Before we go on to the next phase, I want to mention a couple of guys who have been standouts during these OTAs. Didn't play a bunch last year, but maybe playing a little bit more this year. Of course, Jerick McKinnon, running back last season. He flashed a little bit last season before being injured, got more reps than we thought he would get because of the absence of Adrian Peterson. Yeah, Matt Asiata shouldered much of the load, scored 9 touchdowns, but Norv Turner even said he thinks Jerick looks faster now than he did last season, even coming off of that back injury. So I like what I see from Jerick McKinnon. And how about Scott Crichton? Everson Griffin and Brian Robinson have missed some time during OTAs as they recover from some injuries. Nothing serious. We expect that they'll be ready for training camp and for the season. But while they've been in and out of the lineup, Scott Crichton has really played well. A defensive end who can play on either side. You can even slide Crichton inside to rush in some of your sub packages. But you got to give Scott Crichton credit because that guy has stepped up when he's been given some increased opportunities here at OTAs with Griffin and Robinson on the men. So I like what I see from Scott Crichton. A draft pick from last season, a third round pick from last season, really starting to emerge and come into his own in his second season. That has been fun to watch. That's a wrap for this episode of the Wobcast, the off-season catch-up. But we want to remind you, OTAs continue this week. Constant coverage of OTAs, wall-to-wall coverage. We're miking players up. We got helmet cams. We have daily highlights. We have stand-up interviews. We have written articles and stories and observations from all these practices. So we encourage you to stay on the website. Check out that OTA coverage. A week full of OTAs this week. Four OTAs this week to wrap up the OTA schedule. That leads into next week where the Vikings will hold their mandatory mini camp, where the action picks up a little bit, the intensity picks up a little bit. It's the last call for these guys as they're on the field before they take a break heading into training camp at the end of July. We're going to be back later this week with another edition of the Wobcast. We're going to break down the quarterback position. It's the first in a series of Wobcasts that we're going to do. Each Wobcast will be dedicated to a position. We're going to break it down. We'll probably have a special guest or two come in and help us break it down so you can get a complete look at the Vikings roster heading into training camp. I leave you with three questions as you watch OTA coverage and follow the Vikings on Vikings.com over these final few OTAs and going into minicamp. Here are three questions to keep an eye on, and we'll try and answer them heading into training camp in the preseason and as we get ready for the 2015 season. Number one, can Eric Kendricks be the starting middle linebacker in Mike Zimmer's defense? While some can say the middle linebacker is not as important a job as it used to be because teams are in their sub packages so much, I remind you, Eric Kendricks has the athleticism to play in coverage, which means he could be one of the two linebackers on the field in nickel and other sub packages. So can he emerge as the starter in base defense? Because if he does, I think you have a new three down linebacker in Eric Kendricks to pair with Anthony Barr. And funny, the two played together in college as well. So you might have something going there at linebacker with Eric Kendricks. Number two, let's look at the secondary, the depth chart in the secondary, specifically cornerback. The Vikings have added a bunch of talent at corner that includes Trey Waynes. It includes a free agent signing in Terrence Newman. It includes an undrafted player who I like quite a bit, Justin Coleman. He's flashed a little bit, was a man among boys at the rookie minicamp, has evened out a little bit in OTAs, but you expect that from an undrafted guy. But Justin Coleman, a guy I like. I love the Vikings' talent level at cornerback, and I can't wait to see how it sorts itself out over minicamp and training camp in the next couple of months. I think the Vikings are really on to something at cornerback, and I expect that the pass defense will take a major leap forward once again this season. And who's going to win that other starting spot at safety opposite Harrison Smith? Robert Blanton is the incumbent starter at safety, had 111 tackles last season, but the Vikings have some competition waiting for Robert Blanton. You have Antoine Exum, a draft pick from last year. You have Taylor Mays, who is a free agent signing. And then you have Andrew Sendejo, who stepped into the starting lineup last season when Robert Blanton was injured and played pretty well. So lots of competition in the secondary, at corner, and at safety. Can't wait to see who wins some of those starting jobs and some of those bottom of the roster spots because the competition is great. The third and final question, how good can this offensive nucleus be for the Vikings and Norv Turner? You have the developing quarterback in Teddy Bridgewater, who by all accounts is looking sharp, looks improved from last season, looks to be getting it. So you have to be excited about that. And Rick Spielman and Mike Zimmer have surrounded Teddy with some components on offense. I think the dominant trait is speed. Look at Cordarrelle Patterson, great speed. Jarius Wright, great speed. Mike Wallace, elite speed. Adrian Peterson, known for his speed. Jerick McKinnon, known for his speed. Kyle Rudolph, a matchup nightmare at tight end. You add Mykole Pruitt in the draft, another matchup nightmare who's got some athleticism. How good can this nucleus be around Teddy Bridgewater? It's young, it's athletic, it's fast. It has the potential to put a ton of pressure on opposing defenses. And it all starts with Adrian. When you can pound the rock with Adrian the way you can between the tackles or on the edges, it puts a ton of pressure on the defense. They're going to overcompensate for that. They're going to stack the box. And now Norv Turner at his disposal has those guys that I mentioned Jarius Wright, Kyle Rudolph, Cordero Patterson, Mike Wallace, Charles Johnson. So I'm excited about this young nucleus. How good can they be? It's going to be fun to watch that unfold right before our eyes here over the course of the next few months as we get ready for the 2015 season. That's going to do it for this edition of the Wobcast. But again, we're going to be back later this week. We're going to break down the quarterbacks, and we're going to be back regularly over the next several weeks leading up to 2015 Vikings training camp to give you a complete and comprehensive look of the Vikings roster. Thanks for listening, and for producer Nate Vaughn, I'm your host, Mike Wobshaw. We'll catch you next time.